right, it is 5 o'clock. I'm going to go ahead and call our January 20th, 2026 Columbia City Council's pre-council to order. We have a few things on tonight's agenda. Up first is four presentations from our labor group presentations, and then we'll get into the community survey results. I'll make note that often we usually try to have time to go into closed session because of the timing this year. We'll most likely, if we do require any closed session for the labor group presentations, it'll be at the February 2nd pre-council, which that will happen. So make sure when asking questions to my council, or for council members, to staff, that we make sure not to violate any sort of personnel rules. And I'll look to you, Kathy, to tell us if we're going into that space. All right, so Kathy Baker, I'm going to turn this over to you, and you will tell us who is presenting and when. That's good.
Sure. Good evening, Council and Mayor. We, as you said, we have four of our five labor groups that have asked.
Get to the microphone, or is it too hard?
No, it's not hard.
All right, as the mayor indicated, we have four of our five labor groups that have asked to present tonight. Our first group is Local 955, and they're going to be represented by Scotty Johnson.
I'm going to keep it pretty short and sweet.
Patty, will you use the microphone? You can pick it up, or you can take it out of the stand, all the things.
You have to hold it really close to your mouth.
I'm going to keep it pretty short and sweet today. We don't have a slideshow. I've got papers here if you want to look at them, pass them down.
Thank you.
We're seeking pay grade adjustments for union eligible positions, including but not limited to transit water distribution workers, implementing a $19 an hour minimum wage for represented positions, attendance policy revisions. We found that in several different departments that they're vastly different attendance policies, so we'd like to have some more uniform. Cost of living adjustments to the step scales and extension of the step scale to the maximum of the pay grade. Adjustments to policies related to DOT, FMCSA compliance, physicals, and drug testings. Cost of living adjustments to holiday pay, standby pay, and all other ad pays and allowances. And we'd like to get binding arbitration to discipline for discipline procedures and overhaul the grievance procedure.
Anyone have any questions for Scotty? Yeah. Nick, use microphone, please.
Oh, thank you. Hey, Scotty, thanks. That's short and sweet. Not a lot of specificity here, but I'm wondering if there's more specificity in your conversations with city admin.
We will get into more specific details in negotiations. So I'm here today. So.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Yeah, sure.
I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the attendance policies and what it looks like when it's different across divisions.
Yeah, so what we found is that there are some divisions that, you know, they don't really get disciplined. They, as far as attendance goes, they there's really no, some we haven't found a policy in some divisions, and then other divisions like transit, we've found that they've got very strict policies and are getting disciplined more often for attendance-wise and whatnot. So we'd like to make it more uniform so we all have a fair policy.
Other questions for Scotty? I have to have one remind us this year. Is it wage adjustments and then any open-ended items? What is in this year?
Yes, wage opener and open-ended items.
Okay. All right, and are these items currently on your, or all within your open-ended items?
Yes. So, yeah.
All right, well, thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
Thanks, Scott. You can just hand that to Pat if you want.
Okay, our next group is Local 1055, and Zach Quivette is here to present. I think I got you set up.
I hate holding a microphone while I'm talking, but I'll do my best.
I guess I should also warn you all that there's a camera too, because you don't want to put your butt towards it. Please don't. This is going on the website. All right, maybe you do. I mean, never mind. I knew exactly what I was talking about.
Right?
Yeah,
so I'm going to go through, these are all of our open items this year. I don't have to talk about the pension. We've kind of got a little delay on that because of some revenue stuff. So we've worked together with the administration to get that in the right place, and I'm comfortable with where it's at, even though it's an open item. You guys saw our contract. Feels like it was just yesterday that you were approving our contract, because it almost was yesterday. So this year, we're going to work focused on our financial issues. I'll go through them here in a second, but base salaries, some of our ad pays, as Scotty mentioned, meal allowance, ad pays, incentive pays, and then this post-employment retirement health, or retirement health insurance program. I brought it up last year. We kind of put a delay on it during negotiations. We have meetings scheduled with Kathy and with some of the outside providers, the administration, to see what that could look like moving forward. So we are working on that. We're all in a good space with that. So compensation, again, we are satisfied with the way that our pay plan is set up. We continue to make some progress, making adjustments year after year after year. And I'll commend the administration that for, you know, now a significant amount of time, we have made significant adjustments. Inflation rates, consumer price index, consumer buying power, all those things continue to play into what we're trying to accomplish here and make sure that our employees can stay ahead of the curve, that they can make a good living, a living that they can live on here in Columbia as they move through their career. But they're also rewarded for their service too. We don't want just to stay paced with inflation, and I'll talk more about that in just a second. So the CPI over the last year was about 3%. You guys may have seen this chart. This was provided to us by the city. This is the inflation rates and pay adjustments over the last several years from 2015. When I did this, I used the 2019-25. If you look on there, you can see in 2019 when we really started to use a percentage-based adjustment year after year. Before that, we had some, you know, quarter cent raises, the $1,000 over pay periods, and then the 45 cent raises. So I use that 2019 to 2025 time frame when we've really been focused on these percentages. But basically what we find is that even by this chart, the total inflation rate during that time period was 23.1, and this raises that we've been given equal about 22.1%. So we're about a percent behind what the inflation rate is, meaning our members are taking home less money today than they were 6 years ago. And that gap widens when you actually pull the data. This is from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. During that same time period, it shows a cumulative inflation rate of 25.7, not 23.1, and our salary increases were still at that 22.1%. So using this data, we're still 3%, 3% or more behind inflation rates. Our members are making less money. While we've been making these adjustments, we continue to fall behind. So we've got to work on this. We've got to stay ahead of this. But the big thing that I want to point out is that pacing inflation is not a pay raise. It's zero. It's net zero. If the cost inflation rates are 2.5% and you give a 2.5% raise, you are at net zero. And our members aren't getting ahead by doing that. They stay right stagnant where they're at. So we're going to ask for step adjustments like we always do. Adjust our steps for the economic conditions. And at some point, hopefully through this year and over the next couple years, we can catch up with this inflation rate and we can actually get our members ahead. Our step adjustments should be similar to a annual raise for service. So you get your step every year that you serve for the city. And our across the board or economic adjustments should be that inflation rate. And that's how our members continue to move ahead. And that's how these plans are designed to work. On our ad pays, we'll be asking again for specialty team pay, hazmat, technical rescue, and water rescue. We've identified that there's a substantial amount of work and now have an operations or special operations group that has put together a really detailed plan on what our special operations look like. We're asking more of those employees that are serving on these teams every single day. Including special operations and water rescue is a big one. Obviously, coming out of the water rescue that happened up on Bayer Creek. And we're putting a lot of emphasis and a lot of work on these employees. And they need to be paid and compensated for that. And then increase to our current ad pay for paramedics as we're getting ready to work into a trial period for an ALS program, which is advanced life support. We're going to be asking more of those paramedics that are serving on the streets while they're working. So there will need to be salary adjustments for that, because we are asking a substantial amount more work from them. Our meal allowance, we haven't had adjustments since the 2017 contract cycle. If you just take a look back at those CPI numbers, you can tell that there's been a substantial change to what the cost of goods are. And so we need to adjust that. And what we would like to see is an automatic adjustment tied with those CPI rates moving forward into the future. It's just a simple calculation. It's easy to keep up with, and we can just make it happen every year. And then the last thing is the Retirement Health Insurance Program. This is the exact same slide that you guys saw before. I didn't even change it. What we want to do is create basically an HSA style or some sort of savings account for employees that they can use their sick leave buyback time annually. They get to make the choice of, again, we're kind of working on what those details can look like, but the ideal setup was they get to make the choice whether they want to put the money into this account or take cash home. This usually comes late in November, so if some people want to take that home by Christmas presents, that's fine. If not, they can put the money in here. It builds throughout time, and then when they retire, they would have an account set up that they can use for those post-retirement healthcare costs. You need to go get eyeglasses if you need contacts or simple doctor's visits. Like I said, we're working on that. We got a meeting scheduled nationwide here in February, and I look forward to seeing this come to fruition. I think it would be good, not just for our members, but for potentially all city employees. Again, I can't ever calculate this outright. This is just a rough estimate. $1.3 million over 2 years. Ad pay will depend on what the negotiations look like. Our other benefits will come out of the negotiations. I can't give you a real great estimate. I can put in numbers into a computer and make it give me numbers back, but that's all going to be skewed, and it adjusts up and down all throughout our time. And just my final thoughts, like they always are, we want to make sure we take care of our employees with fair compensation that matches economic conditions, create innovative ways to enhance our employment, and work together. I really genuinely believe we've done a lot better job of working together collectively with all parts of the administration and council over the last few years. So I really appreciate that. Negotiations are never easy. They're tough, and I'm not easy to deal with all the time. So I appreciate those guys that sit in the room with me. But thank you. If you have questions, I'll have you answer.
Questions for Seth? I guess one question, can you tell us again, what is the meal allowance? And like, is that, I know you guys have three refrigerators in the houses. Is that basically y'all going out and buying the food for it, or what is that?
Yes, we get, by ordinance, we get $14, $16, I can't remember exactly the number, $14 or $16 per shift that we work. Half of it's paid in October, beginning of the fiscal year. The other half is paid in April based on the number of shifts you've worked. So it is reduced if you take time off and things like that, and it's per shift. And that pays us for the cost of going to the grocery store, buying our supplies, whatever we do, we can use it or whatever. So it does pay us for those meal allowances. And I think it's available to other employees that are more than 12-hour employees.
It's different. Yeah, yours is 14.
14, yeah. $14 a day. So, but it is an ordinance, and it is eligible. Other employees are eligible for it if their shifts are longer than X amount of hours. So
sure.
It's not just fire.
I just want to clarify that one. Okay. Any other things? All right. Thank you, Zach.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Our next group is CPLA, and Lieutenant Derek Moore is here to present.
Thank you. I'm also going to keep this short and sweet. We also don't have a presentation. This year is a contract year, though, so we did want to discuss what we're hoping to get from our future negotiations this year. First, we want to make sure that we address recruitment and retention. While this was a, 2025 was a decent year as far as getting applicants for the lieutenant position, we want to make sure that in the future we make sure that there's continuous applicants as we go on. The first thing we're going to talk about is just making sure our compensation as far as within the department is at least somewhere around where it needs to be. Currently, our sergeants, more than half are making more than what the lieutenants are just by signing up for overtime details. We want to make sure that our compensation is, while not impossible for a sergeant to make, is somewhat difficult. We also want to make sure that our leave is addressed. So one of the things we would like to see is our vacation, the accrual limit removed. We want to make sure that our city holidays, we often are required to work on every city holiday. We want to have some form of compensation for coming in to work on those city holidays. Right now, there is not any compensation for us working on city holidays. And then we want to make sure that even after we are gone, we have some kind of security. So we want to make sure that our retirement has some security in there. We want to possibly evaluate the feasibility of a service credit purchase, having the option to purchase in to retire earlier, and possibly post-employment health care plans to incentivize career longevity as well as succession planning. Our second goal is leadership development and succession planning, as I said before. First, we want to maybe consider a standardized training plan for all new lieutenants or anyone that hasn't had one yet. I'm talking about SMIP, which is the Senior Management Institute for Police, FBI Leader, which is another leadership training, and the Missouri Police Chiefs Association Command College. We would like to see some kind of standardized training where once you've been a lieutenant, you have this long until you have to go and be trained how to be a commander. And we also want to make sure that the job description that we currently have, that we are actually able to do. There's many things in our current job description that it says you will be doing this, 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 and this, and the lieutenants are not typically able to do all of those things. We want some kind of accountability as far as we signed up for this job and we want to be able to do it. We want to discuss and define what exactly we're going to be doing while we're in the field. And that's our third goal, is organizational efficiency and accountability. We want to be able to review and update our job descriptions to make sure that it aligns with the current operational needs. And we want to make sure that whenever we have a decision that needs to be made, that we have the trust to be able to make it. That includes going back to the training as well as other things. That's all I have.
Questions for Derek? Done.
When you mentioned not being able to do everything that's in your current job description, is it due to a lack of personnel, training, or just an outdated job description that maybe it's no longer applicable?
I believe it depends. Like, I don't want to air too much dirty laundry, but a lot of the responsibilities that we could have are taken by the higher command staff. So things that we should be able to do as commanders, our bosses are taking those and they're doing it themselves.
Thank you.
I think just a quick clarification, when you're talking about accountability under the leadership development, can you expand on that?
Yeah, so in order for us, like, we want to do good at our jobs, right? Like, that's what we want to do. For us to be able to feel like we're doing good at our jobs, we need to know what our jobs are, and we have to be trained to do it correctly. So right now, we have an idea of what our jobs are, and it depends on where you are and who your supervisor is or doesn't, right? But we want to be able to do well. So we want the training and the clarification to know this is what you're going to do and here's how you're going to do it.
Any other questions for Dave? Yeah.
Just a little microphone. Follow up.
No.
I know. Just a little follow up on that. It sounds like, if I understood what you were saying, that you're looking for this training that would serve you now, but would also prepare you for advancement as well. Is that right? To move into command staff, for instance.
Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you, Derek. Appreciate it.
Our next group is the Columbia Police Officers Association, and Don Beaver's here. Let's present.
Good evening. Thank you, folks.
Association. Give you just a brief summary of what we hope to accomplish during this year's collective bargaining with the city. As we've said for several years, this is a goal we share with the city, and that is that CPUA really wants to be able to attract, wants the city to be able to attract and retain only the best and the brightest for Columbia Policing. And it seems like we're doing a great job at attracting, and we need to work on some retaining from our perspective. To that end, our primary goal that we've been talking with you for years about is to establish a pay step plan. And that pay step plan would ensure that we have competitive wages at all steps and that we would automatically progress. And a couple of the details in what we envision as an effective step plan would have our officers reach the midpoint of the salary range at 5 years and have them top out at 10 years. And that kind of a formula will work on paper in a contract and can be applied, you know, whatever the starting pay ends up being as adjustments are made, et cetera. The other aspect to the step plan is that we have to recognize that a pay step plan really rewards success and time and tenure. That's a different conversation than are we keeping up with inflation? And so a pay step plan that rewards tenure applies automatic increases through the steps, separate and apart from any cost of living or CPI-based pay adjustments that would be across the board. One thing I wanted to mention is that in the last 90 days, we've lost 14 officers due to resignations, not due to retirements. And I know that I might be off on the numbers, but that's the best we have. I know these numbers are always a little bit of a moving target. But what's impactful here is that that's, you know, nearing 10% of the sworn workforce in 90 days. And so the need to retain cannot be overstated. The importance of retention. Of some of the folks, some of these 14, we had people with 10 years on, and we had someone who was a sergeant. And so that's not common. And so we really should be asking ourselves, how can we do a better job of retaining this experience? We also have as one of our goals, fixing our pension, enhancing, restoring it, fixing it, funding it, whatever word we want to use. And we hope to be able to work with the city on that. I know you guys are well aware of that issue. One or two, depending on how you look at it, issues that we are bringing to the table this year and really asking city if they're willing to bargain with us on has to do with the overall employee investigation, discipline, and appeal processes. And part of, you know, what we've been asking for many years is the ability to appeal ultimate decisions of discipline to some outside entity of some sort. Someone who doesn't have any skin in the game, someone that doesn't have any political will at stake locally, someone who will truly look at the facts of the incident, the rules, the policies, the law that applies, and render a truly fair and neutral and unbiased decision. That's something that our officers are very passionate about. The other subpart to this issue that we're requesting bargaining on has to do with the overall investigation and discipline process, not just binding arbitration at the end. Part of the impetus for this request is that it became obvious that the Citizens Police Review Board doesn't have, we'll say, rules of conduct or rules that would prevent bias. And that started reignited or continued a conversation or concerns that our members have, that there's a potential that some point in the future or some point in the past, someone might sit on that board who has some demonstrated bias. And we just came to a point to realize, and I don't know to what extent council was aware of, but there was an issue that we expressed some concerns, and there's no point in getting into the details of that issue, but just suffice it to say that it became apparent that there were no citywide, the same rules that apply to city employees or city staff with regard to social media use or with regard to, we'll say bias-free or not expressing bias publicly, at least. To our understanding, there's nothing like that that applies to that particular board. That conversation grew into, hey, how else can we improve this process for the community, for the citizenry, for the officers, and for the agency, and for the city alike? And we would just this year ask for the opportunity to collaborate with city staff and try to brainstorm ways that that process overall can be improved. Because I think if you asked anyone involved at any level of that process, they would probably express some frustration and express that it's not working as well as it could or should. And that is all I have.
Questions for Don? Yeah, other Don.
Of the 14 officers that left in the last 90 days that you referenced, was there a single reason across the majority of those? I'm not, I know they all didn't leave for the same reason, but was there a single issue across, you could say, covered 10 of the 14 or whatever?
I'm sorry, sir, I don't have that information.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Vera.
With the pension restoration and enhancement, do you have any guiding goals with that, or is that more of a ready to sit at the table and talk about it?
I mean, they've been in discussions with city staff kind of informally for a few years, trying to figure out how we can fund it. You know, I think minimally our perspective is we need to fund what the city's already committed to. You know, in from our perspective, though, we can point to a time before 2012 when we did not have the retention problem we do, and a lot of that data correlates with the 20-year retirement. And so, you know, assuming the actuaries could work out the details, which I don't have that information or that capacity, that would be our overall goal, would be if there was any way that we could restore the 20-year retirement, I think we'd get rid of a lot of the retention problem we had. If that ends up not being feasible, which is entirely possible, we would look for any enhancements that would help us attract and retain. And even the city's not unwilling or unable to do that, we at least want it fully funded, you know, what we've already committed to do for our employees. I hope that answers your question.
That was perfect. Thank
okay,
you.
Thanks.
Can I ask you, in your reviews of other police departments, how many would you say have continued on with sort of like 20 year? Because
less and less.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Just right.
Yes.
14. Okay.
A lot less than used to be.
Yeah.
But we have to ask ourselves as a city and as a community, do we want to be like everybody else, or do we actually want to attract and retain the best and brightest?
No, I think we look at police officers. Any other questions for Don? And Don, remind us, is yours a contract renegotiation, or is this a wage opener and then open items?
A wage opener with open items. And we asked to bargain on the wage up here as like the last two.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Don.
Yes, thank you.
And then, Kathy, that's the end of our ones. And we have a fifth. But did not request time today.
That is correct. The Water and Light Association did not request to present tonight.
Okay. All right. Council, before we move on to the things, are there any things not related to actually getting into the negotiations that you want to have staff be looking into or have questions for?
Just for clarification, the police lieutenants, is that the only one that's a full contract this year?
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, seeing nothing, we'll go on to then. And so again, the reminder, the intent is at our February 2nd meeting, have council deems, and we can kind of touch base with that after that. There's the conversation about potentially add on part of our closed items for February 2nd. Okay. So Carlin, am I kicking this over to you or Carol Rhodes?
Can I ask?
Yeah, here.
If we wanted to have...
Yours on?
I don't think it's on.
Is that better?
No, take this one.
Yeah, this one's got a green light.
It says it's on.
Take that one. Okay. Oh, how about that?
much better. Okay. If we wanted to have those conversations on February 2nd, how do we, what's the process for getting that?
I think, so basically right now, if the thought is that yes, we'll want some clarifying things, staff will just put it on for the agenda. Is that the thought?
I would like to have that on the agenda.
Yeah. So do Carly, did you get that? All right. So yeah, it'll be on for part of our February 2nd.
We do have a question about that, because I think the thought is the February 2nd meeting, that's the state of the courts and also gives you time to have closer to the municipal judge. Can we meet 30 minutes earlier, say maybe 4:30, to kind of have that closed session conversation?
4:30 is, I work.
Okay.
Is there another way?
We could try to just squeeze it in. I just want to make sure that we give some
capital. Okay. Yeah.
I want to say last year we didn't take the full close time with Capitol. So I think for this is kind of like, we don't get into as many of the nuts and bolts during the close session for this, but I don't imagine it taking longer than 30 minutes. Kathy, does it normally correct?
No, it depends on how many questions the council has. So,
yeah. So those can be submitted beforehand so staff is prepared with information.
Even for closed.
Yeah. You're just sending in a question.
I
not re-answer beforehand, but answer at the time.
I want to be supportive of that request. I would like to see us be able to go ahead and do that. And I think if we have that intent, we can do it within the time it's provided.
I would agree. Yeah, I think we can manage it within the time, Carlin. But you said you have another closed item.
We do.
So that's going to add to the different time.
Oh.
Okay, so maybe we'll do that last. And that way, if we don't get to it,
we can move to next.
All right, Carol Rhodes, I'm taking this over to you.
Hi. I have the pleasure of
Are the microphones like just not loud enough?
They're really quiet today. Really,
can you hold them very close to your lips?
Can you hear me now?
Better.
Okay. So I have the pleasure of introducing Robert Peacock. Robert is with ETC Institute. And as you will recall, ETC has been conducting the community survey for the City of Columbia for as long as I can remember, for several years. And so he is going to run through the survey findings with council. Everyone should have received a copy of the presentation, of Robert's presentation tonight, a summary of the 2025 community survey key findings, and then a staff presentation that will follow Robert's presentation. And in addition, I'm going to pass out a word cloud, and this represents the community comments from question 36, which was, do you have any other comments or suggestions you would like to share with the City of Columbia about our services? And because that was not included in tonight's presentation, I will pass that out to council.
And Carol, quick clarification, because the presentation wasn't added to the agenda later on, will it be a part of like an attachment to the minutes or something so that people later on can see it from the website?
Is that something that can be done, Stacey?
Maybe we don't have to answer that, but we can look into making that possible. I think it'd be
useful. Okay.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, members of the council. My name is Robert Haycock. It's very nice to see you again. As Carol said, ETC has been conducting community surveys, satisfaction surveys for quite a while. We had a little bit of a break and came back last year. You remember those results were not exactly where the city wanted it to be, but tonight, I wanna make sure I'm not gonna bury the lead, which really is your staff and you have clearly taken those survey results from a year ago seriously. Of the 89 metrics that we measured in this survey, 80 of them either stayed the same or improved. Only 9 went down, and even those did not go down very much. But you had 80 of the 89 metrics that we measure stayed the same or improved. With that, I'll jump in here. This is a footprint for some of you who may not be familiar with ETC. This gives you some idea of the footprint that we've had. We're one of the nation's largest market research companies for governmental entities. So a quick overview of the agenda that we're going to follow. And I know you're a little bit short on time, so I'm going to go quickly. If you find something that you want to jump in and have a question or need to stop me to clarify, please do so. Otherwise, I'm going to move pretty quickly for your sake so you can move on. Purpose, we know that a lot of, there's several different reasons, and you can see some of them that we list here, to compare the city's performance with other cities, to help determine priorities for your community, and also to objectively assess through a statistically valid survey where your citizens really are in terms of their opinions of the job the city is doing. Our methodology, we administered it online and by mail. And I would say online, we had, I think, 55% of the responses were online and 45% were by mail. We had a goal of 800 completed surveys with a minimum of 100 surveys from each council district. We met that goal, and a total of 804 surveys were completed. That produced a 95% level of competence with a margin of error of plus or minus 3.4%. That is a really tight margin of error. Normally when we do it, the standard is 5%. So you should have confidence in terms of the numbers that we're providing. This is a map that just shows you a disbursement map of where the respondents came from. So you can kind of get a feel for that. We'll get into some demographic. We notice here you see both new and long-term residents were well represented.
Robert, I'm a quick point of clarification. Two points. One, are we going to ask you questions while you go along, or would you like to save them for the end?
Whatever you prefer.
I think I'll probably allow it occasional, but I'll encourage us to understand how many slides do you have.
I have quite a few.
40. Yeah, so to be conscious over that, I think just one, if you could go back. A question that we hear a lot, a question that we heard a lot, and it'd be great if you had to clarify this right now. You said that 55% of the respondents were people who did it online.
Correct.
Now, those were ones that people received the letter, filled up the link, and their address matched the one you mailed to, or just went to that first hyperlink and they were in the city of Columbia.
No, this is for people that were part of the random sample that we sent out.
Okay.
So we sent thousands out. We got 804 responses. And those respondents could fill out the hard paper copy or go online. Correct.
And so anyone that had the link but didn't maybe receive the paper, their results would not be in these data.
They would not be included because we're looking at a random sample for statistical validity. That's why.
Okay. Because a lot of us saw the link out shared in the wild, and we didn't know what happened to those numbers.
And I'm aware of that, and we looked into it. It was about 20 or so that would fall into that category. Try not to have any, but if we had 50 or more, we would have had a separate report for you.
Okay.
That would have delineated what that group said. Otherwise, it gets confusing if you get five people or something that are responding to a question. It may kind of skew the interpretation of the way to view the data.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. So to clarify, you only received about 20 people who were answering from the link that they saw on social media?
If they were not part of the random sample.
Okay, and that random sample was validated by the address list that you had sent out to?
Yes.
Okay. I certainly had more than 20 people claiming that they had taken it on social media, so that is very interesting.
Well, they could have, but if they had already received a survey, I don't know if those are ones that had not received a survey, but if they had received the survey, they would have been part of the random sample. And everything we do is address-based, so we know who responded, we know how many times they responded, we know if they were inside the city limits of Columbia or not. Sometimes when you do social media ads, they really have been effective for us because they remind people to do that. You can imagine you get home, get your mail, you leave it downstairs, you glance at it. Later, when you're scrolling through your phone at night, you say an ad pops up and you're like, oh yeah, I have to take that.
Right, or you got the letter and recycled it and didn't fill it out, like some people I know.
Sure.
You're in this room.
Sure.
So you did.
Please use the microphone.
So you had a social media ad in addition to the ones that are sent out. How is that ad released on social media? Do you have geofencing? Do you know, or is it blanket an ad to the full public that anyone can take, but you're only going to use the ones that you already sent out?
Essentially, yes. Sense? I mean, there's wow. not a, you're not able to target a specific area, at least for Facebook ads.
Yeah.
About some of the other social media, I'm not sure. TikTok, we're just starting to get into Instagram. But we put the word out for that more as a reminder for those people that received it. If we had a significant number, like I said before, if we had 50 or more, then we would compile a separate tabulation to say what those would be in that group was.
And so you only got 20 who either responded to the ad or got a link that was circulated by a member of the public.
Yeah, it was that were not part of the random sample. It was in the neighborhood of 20. We had about 40 overall that we were not able to accept either for that reason or because they were not from within the city limits of Columbia, or they had duplicates. Sometimes a husband and wife will both try to fill it out, and we only allow one per household, one response.
So if you had 40 and some were for the reason that they weren't addressed and some were outside those city limits, were the ones outside the city limits both categories? Did you track how many? Because presumably if they're outside of the city limits, they didn't get the link.
We had a number that were submitted, and then we have to go through a process of reviewing the data for quality assurance. And one of those quality assurance steps is to make sure that we're actually reflecting people who live in, have their household address in Columbia, not Kingdom City or some other town nearby, within Columbia.
So I'm
feeling confident in this, and since they have so many slides, but do you have a follow-up?
No, I want to know what bucket it falls into. So which layer did you evaluate first? So when you say that there's 20 that got the link but weren't included, is that bucket evaluated first or after weeding out ones that aren't in city limits, right? Because that gives us an idea how many people.
A total of about 40, and so it was pretty evenly split. I don't know the methodology of which group they cleared out first.
But they were both cleared out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. To be as accurate as possible.
Thank you.
Okay.
And this is something, if this is a point of concern, certainly something we can talk with your staff about for next year's survey. Presuming you want to do that, we could have a number of renewal periods in our contract if the city wants to pursue it. We'd be happy to further that discussion.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So we're going to go through these demographics. You have them in front of you. You can kind of judge, but we wanted to make sure through the responses, for example, that both new and long-term residents were well represented. All age groups were well represented. Then we get into satisfaction with quality of life and city services. Most of the slides that you see here, you're going to find that the dark blue is going to be excellent or very satisfied in some cases. The light blue is good, the gray is neutral, and you see below average and poor in the salmon colored as well. So you can see at the top, you had as a place to work, you had 69% that said it was either excellent or good. Down at the bottom, you had overall value received for city taxes and fees at about 38%. But you do notice throughout that a number of cases where people are neutral, and this is something I mentioned last time. Instead of focusing on just the people who are really dissatisfied with a certain issue, we have found that through more public information and outreach and that sort of thing, letting the people know what the city is doing on certain issues, but you can reach some of those neutral people better and move those to more satisfied columns.
I have a quick question about the methodology on kind of this section of the report. So either slide is fine. So it says that you exclude the respondents who say they don't know. I was wondering if you have an idea of how many respondents that is, if it kind of varies by question, because then only seeing the percentage rather than the raw numbers, it can be hard to compare them to each other if we're getting different amounts of don't knows on different questions.
Well, certainly people are going to potentially answer don't know on some questions and that they do know or have an opinion on others. I will tell you primarily the reason we do that is so that we can benchmark effectively. If we didn't have that, then we wouldn't be able to compare the data effectively to other communities, which is part of what you hire us to do.
So do you have an idea of if it was, obviously, you know, someone's going to know a lot about our parks and rec and not a lot about our solid waste, and someone else is going to know a ton about our solid waste and nothing about parks and rec. Does it kind of equal out the don't knows overall, or do you know if there were any questions where we happened to have a ton of don't knows that got filtered out?
I don't have that information, at least not with me. That's something we want to discuss, we can look at, but primarily, if you have a lot of people who say they don't know, then why would you want them to have to pick one of these five options? So that's part of the reason why we allow them to do it, but we don't include them when we're reporting it, because you really want to get feedback from those people who have had some experience or some knowledge that they feel comfortable rating that particular service. Does that make sense?
Did you ever hit your hand up, Alec?
I did, but you were before me.
So mine real quick, maybe speed this along. You've been doing, your company's been doing this for how long?
You mean overall, we've been in business since 1982.
Okay. So, and I'm guessing that excluding the don't knows is part of your standard methodology that has worked for us and the numerous other cities that you've done. So I think I don't think we've got time to get into the weeds of your methodology on all of these slides. So I'm going to accept that your methodology, since it's been used for a number of years, is effective.
Yeah, I just have a small ask. Would you be able to forward the slide, the same figure with the don't knows back in? My rationale here is it answers two different questions, right? We want to know how many people had a strong opinion. If the vast majority of respondents say, I don't know, that changes how I view the data. However, this as a standalone figure is also useful to me for all the reasons you described. If you have access to—
I'm not sure if we can, but it's something I'll follow up with Stacy or Carol and try to provide to you. I will caution that adding the don't knows is gonna dilute all of these categories. So it's gonna draw those away from it. And in terms of making a comparison, to other communities, we don't wanna get into that situation of trying to, some have don't knows, some don't have don't knows. This gentleman was speaking to is kind of the methodology and the approach that we've taken. I would say we do our very best to capture the true feelings of residents, and that's why we work hard on how we're framing the questions with your staff, et cetera.
I think I understand, and I can accept that it doesn't work as a comparison with that in there.
Okay, thank you. I don't know how many of these you want to go through. The particulars you can kind of see here. We asked major city services that should receive the most emphasis over the next 2 years. They could have more than one response. In fact, here we had three choices. First choice, second choice, third choice. And you can see the ones that came up on top was the quality of police and fire was number one overall, and including the majority of people that had first choice. Quality of streets, quality of city solid waste services. At the bottom, in terms of maintenance of city buildings, quality of customer service, you'll see actually, I believe the city has done quite well in terms of customer service. So it speaks highly that that's not something where people are clamoring for more emphasis.
And that doesn't mean priority, that means emphasis, correct?
Yes, it's where they think the city should place its, which area should receive the most emphasis. However, that's defined. Some people might take that to be funding. Other people might take that to be other types of responses.
Well, I had this kind of question really on a number of the items when I was going through. But for instance, on quality of city solid waste services, in my mind, that raises the question about which part of our services are they talking about. For instance, there's a good bit in the comments about recycling, not as much. In fact, I don't know if I saw a single one about roll carts, but so in determining how we see that and how we interpret it. Do you have any guidance about that?
Well, we try to be as specific as we can with staff. I mean, you'll see later satisfaction with maintenance of streets. Very frequently people will say, now, are those state streets? Are they county streets? Right. Are they city streets? And, you know, we work to try to ferret that out. So I would say if that's something that we want to look at the next survey, maybe we break that into two components. We don't want to add too much to your survey because your survey is already pretty long. And people are sensitive to the length of surveys. But definitely if there's a way to better describe the service that we're talking about, we will work with your staff to do that.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, Jackie, can you grab the microphone?
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, we're like super nosy on this. This leads a lot of our discussions. So, Robert,
oh, absolutely. I'm happy to answer your question, by the way.
My iPad is updating, so I can't access anything right now. What was the date range for people to fill this out?
I believe we had it at the beginning of it. I think it was October, November, in that time period.
Just wondering, because I'm thinking about different community events that happened around that time period that would influence some of these responses.
Yeah, and sometimes the timing can influence items like snow removal satisfaction, mm-hmm. things like that, if it's fresh in your mind, for sure.
It says, okay, and also I'll note, I just am opening up the whole one, don't knows and raw data are at the end of the full report. So for those of you who asked for that information, it's in there. And then it says at the beginning of the report, in October and November 2025 is when the survey was conducted.
Ready to move on? Okay. We asked items that should receive the most emphasis over the next 2 years. Again, increased number of police, maintenance, improvement of sidewalks and streets. They rank the highest, but you can see clearly in terms of first choice, increasing the number of police and increasing quality and quantity of housing options were the highest level for first choice. Yeah, satisfaction with customer service from city employees. And really these are, you'll see when we get into the benchmarks, these are very positive numbers overall. These don't happen positive. Customer service, it doesn't happen on its own. It's a reflection of your hiring practices. It's a question of your emphasis that your staff is giving in you as city council in terms of what should be important and how you treat your citizens obviously is very important. You had 70%. That were very satisfied or satisfied with the courtesy in which you were treated. Again, 23% that said they were neutral. See down at the bottom, timeliness of city employees resolving your issue. A little less than that, 61%, but still more than half that were satisfied or very satisfied. We asked about satisfaction with public safety, and you can see at the top, when we're talking about the City of Columbia Fire Department, almost no dissatisfaction with that, how quickly the fire department responds and effectiveness of fire prevention safety programs all rank very high. Interesting, the city's efforts to prevent crime, clearly that's an area of concern for the citizens. 51% said that they were dissatisfied and only 30% said they were satisfied or very satisfied. And you can look at these different categories. Again, what I will say is that some of them are a matter of what type of information are you putting out. And when some of the topics come up with clients that aren't necessarily ranked that favorably towards the city, I will caution people that it's a lot of times it's because they're lacking information. Maybe it needs to be a point of emphasis in your city communications to residents or other methods that you have to get the word out about what you're actually doing to prevent crime. We asked about satisfaction with city maintenance and public works issues. Again, maintenance of city buildings, maintenance of street signs, traffic signs, tree trimming, all of those ranked pretty highly with less than 20% dissatisfaction. You do get down again, this maintenance of city streets, you have about 58% total that were either very satisfied or neutral. Condition of sidewalks, about a third, 35% said that they were very satisfied or satisfied. A lot of folks in that neutral category. And again, if you have a plan to address streets, sometimes you know that's hard to get that word out to let people know. There are different methods, and we've talked with your staff before. I think last year we talked about it a little bit. There are things that you're already doing to communicate what type of plans you have to maintain the streets. And you know, a lot of times it's just letting people know that, yes, we're aware that your street needs to be overlaid or that improvement, that area needs improvement. But if we have to, you know, we have to balance our schedule with that. Satisfaction with parks and recreation, you can see here the city scored very well. You do have 42% that said they were neutral as far as city youth and teen programs. That may be a reflection of people that, have not used them or they're not overly familiar with that. But at the top, the number of walking and biking trails, only 4% indicated that they were dissatisfied or very dissatisfied. Now we want to get into the topic of how your community compares to other communities. And here we're rating the quality of life and perception of the city of Columbia versus what we call the Plains region. It's I don't know all the states. It's North South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, Kansas, I think down to Arkansas and over to Illinois, I believe is part of that too. You can see we have a blue arrow for those areas where you're higher than the other areas by more than the margin of error as a place to work, as a place to live, as a place to raise a family, all very positive. You do get down to the overall appearance of the city where Columbia is in blue, I should have said, and then the hash kind of red color is the Plains region in the U.S. Overall value for taxes and fees, you remember we showed that earlier and it was pretty low in terms of satisfaction, but if you put it in context, everybody's is pretty low. So you're not doing that poorly. You're in line with the region in terms of satisfaction. And then really that's just telling the story. How are you using the tax dollars effectively? We asked about satisfaction, major city services. You see the ones that you scored very highly on compared to the others. I mean, 72% satisfaction with the quality of city parks and recreation program facilities compared to 55% and 48% for the other benchmarks. So you're doing really well in that area. Quality of city's electric services, again, is one of those when you're 12% higher than the region and another 6% higher than the U.S. Region. That's impressive. A lot of these are very good. You do get kind of brought down more into the pack, more closer to the others. Quality of city streets, again, is one where you're 6% lower than the other averages. Enforcement of city codes and ordinances below the Plains region, but not that far behind the U.S. So you kind of see where you score high and where maybe some points of emphasis, or at least conversations might be helpful to have. What's behind those numbers? Public safety service, again, public safety, quality of the fire department, how quickly all the fire prevention safety programs, you scored very well if you look at that. For example, how quickly the fire department responds, 83.4% satisfaction compared to 64 and 66. So obviously you're doing some things right. The public is recognizing that. How quickly the police respond, some of the visibility in police neighborhoods. These are some of the areas that scored lower that we saw earlier. And obviously the lowest is at the bottom with the city's efforts to prevent crime. Quite frankly, it's not always intuitive whether or not the public knows what you're doing to prevent crime. They're reacting to crime and presuming that you're not doing very much related to prevention. So maybe the message might be, how do we project outward that we really do care about preventing crime, and these are the methods that we're taking. These are the improvements that we've made in those areas. That's a clear message you can see from those bottom three areas where discussion, both internally and probably externally with the community, are warranted. We looked at public works, maintenance of city buildings again, maintenance of street signs rated high. Above the other averages, maintenance of city streets, again, was fairly low, about 14% below the region in terms of maintenance of city streets. I want to talk about some trends since 2024. I didn't want to bury the lead since I led with this. I won't spend a lot of time on it, but I do want to point out.
No, I think you can stay on this slide for a long
time. I mean, this is really an incredible turnaround in just 1 year. you stop and think about it, obviously your staff and you have made it a point of emphasis. The quality of police department improved 14.3% in 1 year. Feeling of safety in the neighborhoods at night, again, improved 13.5%. And these are really unheard of. We normally don't see this type of turnaround in some of the numbers in that short period of time. But overall, a feeling of safety, even on, we remember how low on the previous slides efforts to prevent crime was. We thought it was really low compared to your benchmarks, but you've improved 12% in 1 year. So you're, whatever you're starting to do, do more of that probably and continue to move things in the right direction. We did have 9 areas that were either stayed the same or were decreased. And you can see again, the bottom line, really the only 2 that were over your margin of error would have been snow removal and quality of city's solid waste services. Trends in terms of quality of outdoor athletic fields down, I guess these are some more from the decrease slightly. Well, maybe that's a repeat, I'm not sure why that's there. Priorities for investment. So one of the things we do is we look at the data in different ways, and this is something that sets ETC apart. We create something called an important satisfaction index. If you asked me, you gave me a list of 12 items for parks, and you said, how satisfied are you with a dog park? I might say, I had a horrible experience at a dog park last time I went there. My dog got chased by the big dogs. It was awful. I hated it. I'm really dissatisfied with the city's dog park. But if you correlate that also with the, you know, what should be a priority for investment, I might say, well, no, I don't think you should spend another dime on the dog park. I know I'm dissatisfied, but I don't think I want to fund on youth athletic programs or ball fields or something like that. So that's really the purpose of this and what happens when you do that. This is the quality of city streets and quality of police and fire services are our top priorities. So again, even though the fire department rated very well in the previous slides that we saw, again, what these numbers can tell you is that sometimes the citizens just want you to maintain the things you're doing that are good. It's not all about chasing, you know, areas that are struggling in performance, but you have the opportunity to identify some services that need they're happy with and they just want to maintain that. We'll look at public safety priorities. City's effort to prevent crime was first in terms of, so you can see in terms of importance and in satisfaction, it produces the number at the end, and you can see very clearly those are the 2 highest priorities in terms of what the public is viewing when they rate their satisfaction with the police department services. Doesn't mean these other areas, high priorities or medium priorities, aren't things you should focus on. Sometimes some of those are easier to knock off, and maybe you want to prioritize some of those along with the ones that are take longer to resolve or to move. Preventing crime is a big issue. It is, even though you improved it 12% this last year, in terms of satisfaction, it's clearly a very high priority to the public. We also looked at street and sidewalk repair. I'm not going to look at all of those, but you can see which ones we've kind of talked about them a little bit before. But this just reinforces that.
I'm sorry. I know now you're like trying to make us stay on time. So most important, I guess this one seems a little bit off to me. So most important rank, I feel, for the last few slides, the priority area and the satisfaction rank have almost been flipped, especially for those top 3. It seems odd to me. It looks more like we're repeating the same column lines.
You want me to go back 1 there?
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind. Because on most of these, high priority, most ranked 1 and 2 at the top, and then on your next one, my high priority, according to this most important rank, maintenance of city buildings was 1, but I don't think that was 1 anywhere else on your slides.
Where did we see maintenance of buildings?
Yeah, I think
identical.
I'm sorry?
It almost looks like the column.
I think this is inverting the satisfaction, because this is saying what do our citizens say these should be our priorities. So if satisfaction would low, it's going to be high on a priority list too.
Yes. I'm looking 2 columns over where it says most important rank. And I don't think I saw on any other slides that maintenance of city buildings was 1 on the most important rank. I saw maintenance of city streets as 1. So I'm just wondering if the column might be off. Because it looks like it's copying the
side section. Yeah, it could be, Mayor. That's a very good point. Okay. I'll take that back.
Just because I was like, I see.
No, I see what you're saying now, and I totally agree with you. Okay. It's probably an error there that.
Okay. My bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes things happen, and I'll see that's addressed, and we can issue a revise. If there are other concerns like that you find, like errors in the report, you know, you can consider this a draft, and we can make the final report to your staff once we have those items. So if there's anything else to...
That's why I'm glaring right now.
Yeah, you're right.
Thank you, Robert.
It mirrors the satisfaction, right?
Yeah.
This one's right.
Yeah.
Again, Parks and Recreation, again, nothing on the very high priority because they're very satisfied with what you're doing, but they do have some areas that are relatively high priority. Yeah. Other findings. So we asked some different questions tailor-made to your community. We asked what are the preferred methods of communication to receive information from the city. It might be a surprise, but email ranked up at the top. And again, people could give two choices here, first and second choice, and you can kind of see for the majority of people in terms of their first choice was emails, social media, and direct mailers, followed by the city's newsletter and the city's website. Newspapers, radio, and temporary signage ranked very low in terms of preferred methods of communication. What factors contribute most to your trust in our local government? Transparency and accountability ranked at the top, and followed by effective communication and responsiveness. Really, that's probably just a sign that it would be recommended to have discussions about what do we think the public really means by those. It's difficult to just say, oh, we know exactly what they meant by transparency. But it's clearly important to it. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they are happy or unhappy with the level of transparency. Just that, you know, you can be very transparent and they could be happy with it. But they're saying the most important thing for trust is transparency. That if I have a concern about something, that I'm able to dig into the city's website or staff will talk to me about what's going on. So that doesn't necessarily mean that there's a problem with the transparency or accountability, just that these are the factors that are the most important. We have safety issues that should receive the most emphasis over the next 2 years. And in this one, we had three choices. Clearly, gun violence and juveniles being involved in criminal activity and violent crimes ranked at the high, followed by drugs. The others were 22% or less. We asked, do you think that the city of Columbia has enough police officers and firefighters? 69% said no. 13% said yes, and 18% said they don't know. That one we included, the don't knows. We're not benchmarking. Would you support the city pursuing additional tax to increase the number of police officers and firefighters in the city of Columbia? 55% said yes, 15% said I don't know, and 30% said they would not support an additional tax. Regardless of that, I would caution that you know, you don't want to make any conclusions based on one question in a survey, but it does give you some feedback, at least a little bit of where the public is. So we have summary here, and I'll let you read through those. I don't know that it would be that helpful. Other than I know that there are a number of categories we say on there that you're significantly higher than the Plains region in the U.S. People are most satisfied with parks and recreation, fire, some of those items. Satisfaction of 80 of the 89 areas assessed, they stayed the same or improved. The largest one was the quality of the police department, which was improved 14.3%. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have. Sorry that it took a little longer than I'd hoped.
You're good. And just to clarify, and this can be with Carol or with Carlin, I believe we also have some staff slides to also show the kind of staff's response to this. So we will have time for that as well, Council. So questions for Robert on the survey results or maybe how we compare to other communities. I spend more time with it. It's a lot to digest. Appreciate you allowing us to ask a lot of those questions early on, because we were seeing a lot of this chatter online, and we were like, well, do I trust this? So I appreciate you diving into what happens with
it. Yeah, it's easier to address it when it's fresh in your mind and you're looking at the slide. So I appreciate the questions and even finding errors or potential issues. That's important. We need that feedback.
And I'll remind all of us that, yes, in the survey report, at the end is also all the respondents, as well as our the percentages that were the do not know or don't knows, as well as some of those ones, like if it says they didn't respond on some of it. So I appreciate that level of detail. I haven't had time to get into.
Fair. I do have a question.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a demographic question, and it's the number of years lived in Columbia. I'm wondering if this is representative of other comparable communities as well. It struck me that 31 plus years, 34% of those who responded, seems a large number. So I'm not surprised by it. People have a tendency to live here for a long time. Is that unusual? And what impact does it have?
I would say it does vary somewhat, but you have a lot of institutions that would draw people to live here for a long period of time. You also have a quality of life, the options of your trails and those sort of things that are very attractive to people. So you put them together, that's going to drive longevity in terms of people wanting to work and live and stay in Columbia. I don't know that I have it's hard to tell. I would just say that it's case by case, but definitely I think it's a sign of people that they like their city and they're engaged and they've lived here a long time. So I would say probably a little bit more than I would normally see, but not a ton more.
Okay. Thank you.
Since you asked for corrections, there's a typo on page III.
Oh, okay.
So just FYI, it's instead of fire, you have dire.
Oh,
so.
Okay. I'm looking at Stacy. She's going to make sure I bird dog that.
Yes.
So I also had a question. I know that in the survey, and I've not delved into the results and the raw data numbers myself. I know that in the survey there were also questions about transportation. I don't know that I noticed transportation on the slides, but maybe that's just because it didn't pop up to the highest priority on some of those lists. Was transportation represented?
Yeah, I should caution that, you know, I think the report was 130 pages long or something of that nature. And so when you're doing what's hopefully a half hour presentation, you have to make some choices of what to emphasize and what not to. So our approach is we kind of take our best guess at it and we share it with your staff. And if there's feedback or strong feedback, and we can certainly draw that out. But I believe there were other questions that address that. We just didn't have them in the presentation.
Thanks, Robert. And I might just have a best practice wonder for you. The City of Columbia has not conducted a survey since 2019. I mean, we did last year's, but then we hadn't conducted since 2019.
Right.
Do you find it worthy or not worthy to include any of those? Because we had been doing it sometimes every year, sometimes every other, sometimes every 3. But I know that there were some differences in the questions. But some of the questions are the same. Is it useful for us at all to include any of those as far as trends, or is it not the best idea since it was such a large gap between the one?
I don't think it necessarily hurts, but it's something that, frankly, we just thought the emphasis needed to be on immediacy. You know, you look at where people were a year ago, maybe very different than where they were, 5, 6, 8, 10 years ago. We can do that. We can.
Not blaming on that because this has been a hot topic of conversation for the last 13 months about the results of the 24 survey. I was just wondering for your expertise, the knowledge of looking at other cities as they've been doing kind of benchmarks and trends, whether or not it would be useful for us, not just for this presentation, but also just to be mindful over that. Now, that was also pre-pandemic. And so I think there's another sort of wrench thrown into that story. Any other questions for Robert before we do a staff? Yeah.
I have another demographic question. I have another demographic question. I'm looking at the slide which best describes your household. 68% report that they own a single family home, and then 18% rent a single family home and 12% rent multifamily unit. It doesn't seem like that matches our census data very closely to me. And I'm wondering, is that a result of respondents, or if any effort is taken to, I don't know, spread out?
Which slide were you looking
at? Oh, sorry, I'm in the report.
Page 42.
Question 30.
Page
Thanks.
42. In the report, it's page 42.
Oh yeah, it is page 42. The page numbers don't
match the
page numbers.
Page 42.
Page 42 of the report.
So it's not on a slide. No, it wasn't part of the presentation.
No.
That's something I can look at. I can tell you that when we create the sample on the front end, that's something that we really pay attention to and make sure that it's matching up as much as possible. And then as we get the responses, if we're off significantly, we do try to compensate for that in some ways. I don't believe we've had to do it for Columbia in the past, but for other clients, sometimes you add weight to certain responses because they're underrepresenting. There's a whole science of how you do this, but I don't believe we've had to do that. And to my knowledge, we were in keeping with the census, but it's something I can look at.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Any other questions for Robert? No, I appreciate your partnership over the last years. I really do value the insight that it gives to us. So thank you.
You're welcome. And I might also say this last year, we also did a survey for your utilities as well. So thank you for your time and all the questions. I really appreciate the thoughtful questions that you had. It really, I think, sends a message to me and to others that you care about, you know, getting things right and really want to understand what your residents are seeking from their government. So thank you.
Thank you, Robert. All right, Carol, is this you or DeCarlin leading this? All right, DeCarlin.
Thank
Carol.
You're welcome.
Robert, thank you for that great presentation.
Yep.
Oh, it's, I hate this thing. It's been interesting when you look at where we were at in 2024 when we first received the survey, especially compared to the previous survey in 2019. It really showed that our residents were really dissatisfied with the things we were doing. I want you to know that staff took that serious. And we really tried to look at what people were saying, what people were concerned about, and tried to properly address that. I think the survey numbers showing some of the things we improved on shows that we were listening and people are seeing those results. Staff is here, so if there's questions for particular staff members, they can kind of respond to those, and hopefully we'll kind of go through here. So when we looked at our key themes, what we noticed, they were homelessness, public safety, crime prevention, veteran code enforcement, sidewalks and streets. These are very similar to the same issues that we saw last year from some of our residents' concerns. And so what staff wanted to do is just kind of show what some of our ongoing efforts were. So the things that we improved on or took on initiatives from 2024, and then what are some of the things we're going to continue to work on. And so for homelessness, so the health department vetted a diverse supervisor, community health worker, and public safety justice coordinator. We increased the overnight warming and cooling at both Wilkes Boulevard and at Wilkes Boulevard United Methodist Church utilized a turning point. A part of that was we realized that we need to overflow from what we were doing at Ratty at the Ashley Street. We implemented the Ride Home program. I think that's very new. I want to say that. Five people so far. So, and that's been around for about 2 months.
Yeah.
And so people are taking advantage of it, but it's really getting it out. So agencies know that it's available. We released a 2024 State of Homeless Report. We've been into a contract with the company to provide unhoused encampment cleanup services, and we've added two additional officers to the homeless outreach team, and that they went into effect on 2026. Also, what are going to be some of our recommendations for staff? You know, we want to pursue a 5-year strategic plan to better align resources. My hope is that Rebecca will give a presentation
next meeting
to discuss what she would like to look at in that strategic plan. Then also evaluate opportunities to add public restrooms to areas where those facilities are lacking. I know there was a request to look at the downtown area, and so that there was a report on this agenda tonight to discuss that.
I have to ask you not to move the cursor. It's making me kind of go crazy.
I'm sorry.
I'm like watching it. He's like, I'm a cat. I'm sorry.
All right, so recruitment of public safety officers. So in 2025, recruited 39 police department, CPD officers, and 33 Columbia Fire Department officers. Ongoing professional development, so 40 of our fire department captains have completed Officers Development Academy. Utilizing our academy, we're addressing professional development with incoming officers. And our command staff, the PERF, which is Police Executive Research Forum for Senior Management Institute. So all our assistant chiefs are going through that program. We've implemented the flock license plate reader, Axon in our cars. We've shifted park rangers to sworn officers. We've improved the camera system and the lighting in our park. Now this is one that I think is interesting, because people talk about what are we doing about traffic enforcement. In 2025, we made 18,000 stops. That doesn't mean we wrote 18,000 tickets, but our officers are responding. We are making those traffic stops, compared to 2024 when we did 11,000 stops, and in 2023 when we only did 3,000. And so as we've added our staff, we're able to be responsive to some of the concerns that our residents are having. We've increased the number of sworn officers. So what are our recommendations? Let's increase the number of sworn officers to support community policing, crime prevention, and officer wellness. We want to reinstitute the downtown unit. We want to improve safety in medians and roadways, improve sight lines and visibility along the park trails, and enhance park signage to facilitate clear and timely reporting for suspicious or illegal activity. And this is what we talked about, is kind of putting a QR code or some type of process where if someone sees something in the park, they can report it immediately. Litter control, so addressing code enforcement. And so our code enforcement officer handled 4,782 code enforcement cases, which is a 12% increase. We've implemented dumpster day, and we have a special docket focused on properties within significant housing violations. We continue to promote implementation of volunteer cleanup. Staff augmenting for park shelter cleanup. So that's just adding additional staff to make sure that we're being responsible to clean our parks and clean our shelters. We've purchased an additional street sweeper, and we added one code enforcement officer that will help with property maintenance, rental compliance, and residential property management. So some of the ongoing recommendations is to create a park and trails maintenance operation plan and create a litter control for first priority routes. So we kind of talked about this a little bit last year. Shane's here, so if there's additional questions about what that looks like, he can kind of speak on that.
Just as a quick note, a question that we had last year, a lot of times those were state roads.
Yes.
So I don't know if any more of a conversation has had with MoDOT since then and what that might look like.
Yes, they're not doing anything.
Well, so yes and no. I think we have had those conversations with MoDOT. We do know that MoDOT, like a lot of organizations, have that lack in that resource, and so they've pulled away from some of their maintenance. Now I think when we look at mowing, they mow maybe once or twice a year as opposed to something that's ongoing. So one of the things we talked about when we talked about the enhancements to 70 is that we know that we'll have to take on some of those maintenance.
Yeah. Just a quick question. I know you're pushing through a ton of information here. Will we get these slides?
Yes.
They were emailed out to us this afternoon, but
it came. Okay. I had not seen.
Yeah, we were still putting this together at 12 o'clock today.
Well, they look great.
I thought they were pretty good.
So some of our ongoing efforts, so City Council increased the funding for public works payment from $3.3 million to $5.3 million. So we have invested in our streets. Majority of the city sidewalks are responsible to the adjacent property owners, so that is something that, you know, is a concern. But we do have the 50-50 cost share program to help lessen that burden for residents who have to make those improvements. And so that's our presentation. I think it's kind of, if there's questions, particular staff members, they're all here and we kind of talk on it. I know one of the things that were highlighted was about city streets, and I think Robert kind of touched on that a little bit. Is a lot of our streets, especially the streets that people complain about, are usually aren't our streets. Most of the time they're MoDOT's, some of them are the county, and so it's having residents understand which streets are our priority and which streets are we're working on. The sidewalks, so kind of touched on that a little bit. The refuse service was down, but I want to believe that that's because of what happened with the MRF and that we had to suspend recycling. The snow removal, I think a lot of that was about the snow removal has been a concern for residents for a while, but a lot of it was also because of the response to the ice storm. But one of the things that there is an antidote that I like for Shane to share about our efforts for snow removal and what's happened. And so, Shane.
So, one question that I was asked was how our current staffing compares. And as we add lane miles, obviously, does staffing keep up with that? And in 2005, we had 1,091 lane miles and 43 employees. So that's about a little bit more than 25 lane miles per employee. In 2025, we had 1,465 lane miles and 45 employees. So we've added two employees in 20 years. And so that employee per lane mile was about 32.5. So obviously, you can't change that back to 25 overnight. But if you look at that in terms of if there was a decision made that we wanted it to be back closer to 25, you're looking at about 14 employees. And I need snowplow for every two employees.
Are there any additional questions for staff?
Does council have any questions for staff? Yeah, Betsy.
Mainly my questions for you, to Carla, and I guess all the staff. Looking at the current survey, are there things that you're going to change or things that you're going to recommend changing, or is the plan just to continue what we're doing and try and get better with this? So, like, what do you see in moving forward?
Yes, so there are recommendations that we have that we're looking at trying to move forward, but also it's kind of maintaining some of the things we're doing. Like when we talk about public safety, one of the things we know is that in order to really actualize the things that people are looking for, we're going to need to add staff. I think we're with the academy and with our ability to recruit, hopefully we'll see that downtown unit come back. But that's only one aspect of the totality of all the things we need to do. And so it's really looking at the things that we can work on. I think with public health, you know, it's really looking at a strategic plan to help us really address homelessness. We've done a lot and we've invested a lot, but we need to do a better job of coordinating our efforts with also the efforts of a lot of the community groups that are working in that same space. So how do we deal with something that will allow us to all streamline what we're doing and have that one voice that talks about what Columbia efforts are?
Other questions for DeKerlin or staff? DeKerlin, do you want to talk a little bit about how this also then influences as departments build out their fiscal year 27 budget?
Oh, absolutely. And so that's exactly it. So when we look at our recommendations, it's adding those things that we know are things that we need to work on to say that we can actualize that cost. So when we talk about the clean up litter control for those priority routes, so what is that staffing going to look like? And what are the equipment that staff will need? And so it's developing a plan that we can bring forward through the budget process. When we talk about staffing, what are those staffing numbers that we need to look at? And what's that cost we can talk about during the budget process? And so this will help us formulate what we're gonna kind of present to the council as we look at our budget.
Anything else for staff on this one? No? All right. Well, DeKerlin, I appreciate this. Is there anything else for the good of the order?
Did you have time, anything on the agenda?
Is there anything on the agenda that you want to ask your question now? I will say that it's been recommended if it does seem like it's going to go late to the night, those two reports that have been requested to potentially be tabled, a suggestion is that potentially the February 16th meeting doesn't have a lot of reports on it, so it could be on that one if you are amenable to that one. Okay. And I can either make the motion at the earliest part when we're doing the agenda, or we can just make note of it and then make them official tabling at the time of if you want to.
I think I would make it at the beginning because those who might be sitting around waiting for the conversation on those reports will know that we're moving those to the 16th.
So as a reminder, it was reports 5 and 6 that was on the communications for capital improvement projects, as well as the feedback from update from the mayor's task force on community violence review. Yeah, here.
Yeah. I don't know the proper way to do this. I'm very interested in the pieces about transportation from the community survey. And perhaps it is back in that data that I haven't had a chance to really dig into. I haven't, in my initial read, I haven't seen a comparison of Columbia's ratings for transportation to other communities like we saw in the PowerPoint today. And I was wondering if that is not in the report, is that something that we could ask them to add on? Is that within our contract that we have the ability to
do
that?
You mean like the next survey?
I was wondering if they could provide that to us.
We can see if those comparisons are there. We can see if they can add it. So we can just talk to Robert. And so we'll have that conversation.
I don't think it is a priority high enough that if they're like, oh yeah, this would increase what we're paying on the contract. But if it's something they can throw towards us quickly.
Verification, you're saying transportation, but do you mean transit? Do you mean bus system or do you mean transportation?
The heading they have over it is transportation. And it was questions 21. About.
Is this the ease of travel from your home to work and school, availability of public transportation?
Yes.
Availability. Okay. So it's question 21, Stacy, in the survey instrument tool, and to see whether or not, to see whether or not they have a comparison to the US and the plain states.
Yep.
Any other questions, whether it's on the survey or anything else on the agenda? Okay, seeing none. I guess, well, one, is Robert still here? He ran away. No, he's like hiding at the back, sorry. Quick question, just a clarification. On the open comments that are in the space, are those anyone who filled it out, are those also from the statistically significant ones, or is it anyone who filled out the survey? Like those 40 were thrown out and like none of their data is anywhere in here, or is it potentially in?
Honestly, I don't know.
That might be good to look into. Just based on the 40 that were in there and the number of comments we have.
My guess would be that.
Okay. Thank you. Just having that question answer would be good. All right. If there's nothing else, I'll go ahead and adjourn us at 6:30.